Well, hello and welcome back to the Profit Express. And today's show is number 450. 450. That is a milestone show, folks. So as always, I thank you for listening and spending your time. And I thought, listen, show number 450, you know, I got to make sure that show delivers. I got to make sure it's a money-making show, okay? And I chose one of my favorite topics in business and in life, and it's human communication and the huge impact being a good communicator can have on your success. Or if you're not a good communicator, how it can impede your success. And so it's show number 450. I've invited on Tracy Locke. She's co-owner of the training company Productively Funny. And they're a training company that incorporates improv comedy training into their training. So they've kind of blown up the boring PowerPoint, and they use improv comedy as a way of teaching communication in corporate America. And she's a comedian, of course, and she's also the warm-up comedian for the Mel Robbins show. So it's been a pleasure to have her on. Now, again, Tracy, I told you earlier, show number 450 had to deliver.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm putting all the, so if it's not a good show, all the pressure's on you.
Oh my God, it's a great show. It's a great show already.
No, listen, it's so far you're delivering. This has been fantastic. But yeah,
I'm not like the Jets. Come on, I'm going to deliver.
I'm a Jets fan. What are you doing to me?
Oh no, you know what? I also do a podcast. I have to tell you this, called Girls Gone Green, where it's with another comedian. I'm a huge Eagles fan, and she's a Jets fan. So I had to give you a hard time. We both lost.
You lost yesterday too. Yeah.
We lost horribly. Yes.
Yeah, but
you didn't even show up.
Yeah, but you won a Super Bowl a couple of years ago, so you can rest on that for a number of years. Okay, you got Super Bowl.
I know.
We don't even have that.
Once your man's back from mono, I think you guys will be all right.
I hope so. I mean, it was so bad. My son decided to go out with my wife yesterday. You know, it wasn't even halftime. He's like, "All right, Dad, I'm going." My wife went shopping somewhere. My son abandoned me. I mean, it was.
You know, it's bad when your son would rather shop with
his
mother.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
It is a shame. Oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Not that I blame them, but. So we're talking about communication. I've said it, and I'll always say it. It's one of my personal favorite topics in life and in business because, listen, if you're not communicating, you're not connecting, you're not collaborating,
sure.
You're not being creative. One thing that I want to talk to you about, and just maybe get your opinion and maybe how you address it in training, and this definitely a Profit Express. We're not a show on politics. I don't go down that route because, you know, there's enough of that out, you know, beyond this show.
Correct.
But I just get the feeling in society today, it's like my one man's observation in society because of politics, because of technology and everybody having the device in their hand, people talk at each other, people talk over each other. I think listening has suffered. That's me. Are you seeing that?
Absolutely. I mean, that you just hit the nail on the head, Tim, with the whole key to communication is listening rather than speaking. I mean, obviously, you have to be well-spoken, but you can't speak directly to a topic if you're not paying attention. And that's exactly what's happening. I mean, you just put it in a nutshell, exactly what's happening in the world of communication. People are not paying attention. Even in conversation, I don't know if you've noticed it, you know, you'll be out to dinner and you'll be talking to someone and they'll be checking the phone.
Yes.
While you're talking to them.
Yes.
Their attention is divided, and there's no way that in a business situation you have to give your full attention, because where they're in a business situation, we're asking you for your input, for your creativity, for your ideas. How can you have a creative idea about something if you're only half listening? You don't even know what we're talking about. You're not invested. Your mind is not engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not thinking of other ways to help. So what's happening now is people are not listening, and they're just waiting for their turn to talk. I completely agree with that, because if you just listen to, you know, it's not political. It's just the way people are dealing with each other. They're just waiting for their turn to talk, and it's not a discourse. It's just a monologue. I'm just going to talk, and then they're going to talk, and it's not going to be related, and we're not going to work well together.
Yeah, I mean,
you can't work well together if you're not listening to the other person.
It's that simple. And listen, I'm not anti-technology, but I think one of the big risks of modern technology is will come at the hand of human communication. But we have to address it. You know, we're certainly aware of it. Obviously, companies like you are aware of it. Improv training is aware of it.
Sure.
But it's something we definitely have to address because I could see possibly getting worse.
It's going to get worse because the thing is, technology was created as a tool to help your communication, to help you. It's
right.
now taken over, and it's now just the mainstay, and it should not be. It's a tool. It's not your whole life. It's just something to help your life. And I personally feel that it's completely taken over. As I said to you, it makes me sad when I go into a coffee shop and I see a table full of kids, and they're all on their phone, and they're not talking to each other. I mean, the best times that I've had in my life was hanging out with friends, and we were doing nothing but hanging out and talking to each other and getting to know each other and building that trust and building that communication. How can you trust? It's like you don't even really know your friends because you're constantly on the phone. I mean, I know people that are texting each other. You see people out on dates now, Tim, and they're at a table and they're both on their phones. And they're not even looking at each other. I'm like, it is the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, they're probably texting their friends. Yeah, this guy's kind of boring, not very fun. I'll be home early. Exactly. We'll hang out. Yeah.
Right. It's a lost art, and I agree with you so wholeheartedly that the key is listening. If you're not engaged, you can't listen. And if you don't listen, you can't add. And the key to improv and excellent communication is you're going to build it. There's a reason why you're talking to someone. You're trying to work together or get some information from them. And if they're not paying attention, it's not going to work.
There's one thing that, there's a few things that I got from the improv comedy class that I took. And, you know, the SN that you've referenced is one of the foundational tools, at least as I understand it. But also some, and I talk about it in sales training. I think it's, you know, if we just look at, you know, a business meeting. We'll get specific for a moment. A business meeting, whether you're the sales guy with the prospect, whether you're a manager with your employees, whatever the meeting scenario is, something called being present in the moment. And for me, being aware of that, and it's something that I had to remind myself of, but it's super, super powerful. Talk to us about what it means to be present in the moment, and how can we use that to become better communicators?
Okay, this is comedy and communication gold, Tim. You are awesome. So here's the thing: when you're in the moment, people. This is the biggest part about being in the moment. When someone is in the moment with you in a sales situation, you absolutely know it. So it's so interesting that you bring up this topic because. This relates back to Mel Robbins. The Mel Robbins show, the first week we were shooting, Mel, I'm the warm-up, so I'm in the audience. She's just like, how's it going? And I said, you know what? The audience is reacting to you, and they're loving it because you're really in the moment, and you're being super authentic with them, and they know that. As a comedian, and you know this too because you did improv, the audience and your people that you're talking to can innately tell if you are if you're paying attention and you are in the moment and you are there. It's something within human contact that when someone is speaking to you and they are fully engaged with you, you can tell. You can feel that. It's nothing specific, but you can feel that. And you can also, on the flip side, Tim, feel when someone is disengaged and half paying attention to you. And there's nothing more frustrating than dealing with someone who's half paying attention to you. And in a sales situation, as you know, your personality is what's going to, if they know that they're being taken care of and they're being listened to, every situation, all they're looking for is a salesman who's actually listening to them. And if you are engaged and fully listening to them, you've won the battle because they trust you. Then once someone trusts you, they're going to open up. And then because you're listening to them fully, you can come up with a solution because they're going to give you the actual pain point. They're going to tell you the truth. They're going to tell you what they really need help with. And you're paying attention, so you're going to listen, and you're going to help them, and then you get the sale. Because that's what sales is. Hey, can you help me? You know, if we break it down to the bottom line,
sure.
What can you do to help me? And why are you different from every other salesman that's going to come in this door? And here's the reason. 9 out of 10 salesmen that are going to come into the door, Tim, as you know, are not engaged. They're half thinking about something else. They're not paying attention. And when you fully lock into someone, they can feel that. And that's what's going to make the difference. And that's what improv teaches you, is stay in that moment. Don't be thinking 50 yards down the line. Because if you're listening to what someone tells you, mm-hmm. something can trigger in your mind that could be a solution for them. Where if you're 50 yards down the line thinking about the next play that's going on, you're not paying attention to what's happening right there. So that's what improv is telling you. Stay in the moment. Be right where you are. Listen to what's happening at the very second, because you never know where that will lead you. Don't have a preconceived notion. Don't come in and say, I'm going to sell this guy this. Wait until they tell you what they actually need. And then that might open an avenue up that you never even thought of. That's a way bigger sale than what you were thinking of.
And it's funny. You're absolutely right. And I talk about this, you know, to my clients, for myself, when I'm out there. I see improv comedy as a great reminder to be selfless. And if you're selfless, and this is huge in business and in sales, you know, if you're selfless, if you leave your ego at the door, then you're there for the other person. You know, in comedy, you know, in improv, then you're there for the scene, right? I mean,
correct.
And it's if we can embrace that, and that's why I love talking about this topic, and I love having somebody like you on the show, because then people can begin to understand, it's not about me. Let me leave the ego at the door. How can I connect with this person?
Exactly.
And I love how it all kind of comes full circle, which then leads me to my next question. You know, so in order to be present in the moment, and we've already talked about this, the skill of listening. Now, mm-hmm. for me, I think it's gotten a lot more press and a lot more coverage and blogs and articles and books and shows than it has in the last few years. I've seen a lot of talk about listening in the last probably 5 years in the business world. Do you think, though, that if, because I still think the majority of people are still not good listeners.
Yes.
That's me. Now, you're a trainer, okay?
Yeah.
Somebody comes into a training. Can somebody become a better listener?
I absolutely think someone can become a better listener if they understand the reasons why it's so important. And they're visually shown and put in situations where they get the flip side, where they can actually feel what it feels like to not be listened to. So I feel that people learn all different ways. But what we're finding out with our company is that when people are up and being interactive and actually in scenes where they're put in scenarios that are the opposite of how they actually act, mm-hmm. they're put in someone else's place. And so they're understanding what it feels like when someone's not engaged and not listening. And it opens their eyes and like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize I was doing that. I didn't realize it was being perceived as disrespectful or not paying attention or not interested. And so, yes, I definitely feel that someone can learn how to be a better listener when they understand the value of it. And that's one thing, as you're saying, the articles are out, there's books out, there's so many things out. But until you're actually put in a situation where you can see it, I feel like, oh, once you see it, it's like the light comes on. Oh, I understand why it's so important to listen and be listened to. It feels, if you're not listened to, you feel invalidated, right? It's like how many times have you been in a situation business-wise where you're like, oh, why am I even giving information to these people? They're not even listening. So you check out. And you check out and you don't participate and you don't use your creativity, and everybody has something to bring to the table, Tim. You know that.
Yeah.
There's some kind of creative spark in everyone that they don't even realize they have. And so once they're engaged and they feel listened to, and this is for management especially, the worst thing you can do is shut somebody down and be like, nope, nope, that's not the way we do it. Nope, nope. Because they're just going to check out. And then you have an employee that's not engaged, not interested. And studies have shown when people are engaged and feel listened to, they are much more readily, they don't miss work. They get their project in before they're due. They engage and help other people within the company. And it's like there's teamwork involved. When they feel that they're not listened to, they completely check out and they just do the minimal amount of work. And that's it. They're not going to be engaged because you're not engaged. So I think it's imperative that people become better listeners. And I do think it's teachable. I absolutely do.
And this is show 450 of The Profit Express. We have Tracy Locke on. She's co-owner of Productively Funny. We're talking about one of my most favorite topics, human communication. Tracy's also obviously a comedian. She's the warm-up comedian. That's a great title, by the way. I'm the warm-up comedian for Mel Robbins' show. I mean, like, come on. You got to feel a little swag with a, you know, you go to a cocktail party. Oh, what do you do?
Yeah.
Let me tell you. That's pretty cool.
It is. You know what's crazy, Tim? I'm going to tell you this, which is so bananas on the topic that you're just talking about. For whatever reason, comedy or any kind of showbiz things always trumps whatever, which blows my mind. So I recently went to a reunion, and I met a bunch of people that I went to college with, and they're surgeons, and, you know, it's hilarious. Doctors, lawyers, and we had a couple of politicians, and they were like, wow, you do comedy? And it was like, I'm like, are you guys kidding me? I can't believe that trumps this. You know, it blows my mind.
Well,
so I just had to add that.
Because I think, as you're saying this, I think if, you know, it's a, you know, I have friends who are comedians, so I kind of know a little bit just from them and talking, and it's a tough world, you know.
Absolutely.
I think it could be brutal, but I think that people just see it as such a fun way to make a living, and they just see the performance. They don't see, you know, how tough it really is behind the scenes, you know?
Yes. Yes, well, absolutely.
So wait, so you were rocking the reunion is what was happening.
Oh my God, it was hilarious. It was great. But one thing is, being a comedian, you really do learn the business part of show business. You have to.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you'll get eaten alive. You're on your own as far as you've got to. And one of the keys that, because you started this company, because you're a comedian, we realized that as a comedian, your number one job is to be able to read the room, just like you would in sales. You've got to read your customer. You've got to be able to go into that room and right away feel what this person's going to allow, what their communication style is, what they're going to respond to. And so these worlds coincide, and they can help each other. It's like, listen, these skills are marketable skills. These are skills that everyone needs to have. And we just happen to have them because night after night after night, we are in front of hundreds of people every single night. And I've got to be able to look at someone and just from their energy or whatever they're giving me, be able, can I play around with that person? Can I joke around with that person? Are they going to have a sense of humor about themselves or not? And it becomes innate when you're doing it comedy-wise, but I think it's such an important skill that you can learn for sales or anything in business. You need to be able to read other people. And the only way to do that is exactly what you're saying, Tim, is be in the moment and be paying attention and listening to the cues that they're giving you.
Now, it's the way I look at it, again, when I'm wearing the sales trainer, sales coach hat, it's like it's so powerful of a tool. It's so effective. And it's actually, it's fun and enjoyable. I quite frankly think it makes what you do in business easier and more enjoyable. Why don't more people do it? But I think more people are certainly aware of it because of the work that you're doing. And again, you're tuning in today's guest, Tracy Locke. She's co-owner of Productively Funny, which is certainly an out-of-the-box kind of training company that uses improv comedy as their key strategy in helping corporate America become better communicators. Let me just go back to that reunion for a second. So you were talking to people that it was college, right?
Correct.
So
yeah,
you're in college, and you have, you know, I'm the attorney, I'm the brain surgeon, and then you said, were there some politicians there?
Yes, there were.
So be honest. You're a brain surgeon? Oh, that's nice. Well, I'm a comedian. Right? There's a little bit of that, right? A little, you know, like, okay, that's nice. Okay.
The funny part about it, Tim, this is a weird part that you probably have encountered this because of what you do. I can't tell you how many of the people that are doctors and lawyers have said to me, oh, I'd love to be a comedian. That's what I really want to do.
Yes.
I was like, what? You're like a multimillionaire brain surgeon. You want to be a comedian? Really?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, yeah, that's what I really want to do. I just don't, I'm afraid to do it.
No, it's performance. You know how that's the getting up in front of people, being funny. You know, it's not easy. Terrifies 98% of people.
Yeah, it does. And the key to that is being vulnerable. And that's one of the keys to communication is to be vulnerable and listen and open yourself up a little bit. And other people, again, it's a weird thing that I can't put my finger on, but people innately know when you're being vulnerable, when you're being truthful. Like, I can tell you, I've been on stage where I've told jokes that really happened to me, of course. That's 99%. And then I throw a joke in there that I made up, which I thought would be a funny tag onto that, and it doesn't get a response. And I'm like, wow, the audience can totally tell I made that up. And it's not something like crazy, but it's like something, and they just know, they can feel that that didn't really happen, but this happened. Even if it's a crazy scenario, if it's the truth, I always get a reaction from it, which I find fascinating.
You know what's funny? Because you talk about, and it's spoken a lot about in business now, you know, being genuine, being authentic, being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And earlier in our chat today, I talked about, you know, I'm control freak. You know, ask my wife, she'll tell you. And, you know, I want things a certain way and da da da. And certainly in improv, it doesn't work out well. I found that out. But that's something I personally have had a hard time doing because, you know, when I was, you know, early in my career and my selling career before I had my own business, certainly before I had my own show, you know, it was, you know, delivering a certain message, you're corporate, you're buttoned up, it's perceptions, reality. And it didn't allow you, I mean, we're talking 20 years ago, it didn't mm-hmm. allow you, or I would even say encourage you to be authentic. Everything was about right. just, you know, a created marketing message. And we've gotten so far away from that, which I think is a good thing. I think it's a great thing.
Listen, I know, I'm sure this has happened to you a million times, but there's nothing more authentic and real and comforting to a client, for instance, in a sales situation, and I'm sure you've been in it, where, say, and it just happened to me because right out of college, before I was a reporter, I did sales for a year. It was crazy. But anyway, have you ever, Tim, been in a situation where it was like, look, I'm going to tell you the truth. You don't really need this product. I'll tell you why. Tell you why I wouldn't even. And then you tell them what they might need, and it might not even have to do with your company.
Yep.
And it turns into a relationship because this person says to you, oh, my goodness, you're not just looking for a sale. You're actually trying to help me.
They fall in love with you. Yes.
Yes. And then they'll buy whatever. But it's because they know you're authentic, you're being vulnerable and you're being real, and you were saying, look, I'm not going to try to sell you this. Even though my job is to sell you this, that's not what you need. This is what you need. I just recently purchased a new car, and the reason I went with the dealership that I went with was because he said, look, I don't think this car that we have is what you want. You don't need this. You don't need X, Y, and Z. And I was like, wow. This person is actually listening to what I want and what I need, paid attention, and said to me, the vehicle that you're looking at is that I'm trying to sell you is not actually what you want. You might want to go to this dealership and look at this.
Again, another smart strategy, because if you do it genuinely, it will always come back. It'll always come back in a relationship, a referral, what have you. Today's guest, Tracy Locke, co-owner, Productively Funny, warm-up comedian for The Mel Robbins Show. So when it soars in the ratings, we'll know why.
exactly.
Precisely. Let me go back. I know we've spoken about a number of topics, all super interesting. One of the things that you guys do address, and it just popped in my head as we're talking, you know, multi-generational in the workforce, which is a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is there one that you've seen? I'm just kind of curious. Is there one generation over the other? You know, I think the big predominant ones are boomers, Gen Xers, millennials are probably the big three.
Yes.
Is there one generation that is resistant to your training more so than the others?
Well, it is interesting because you would think that the older generations would be resistant. They are not. They are very open and willing to communicate. Millennials, as you spoke of earlier, feel maligned. They feel like everybody's picking on them.
Yeah.
So it definitely get a resistance, and there's definitely that feeling for millennials when they first come in that there's a little bit of the too cool for school. I don't want to participate. I don't want to be made. I don't want to look weird in front of anybody else. I don't want to be made fun of. But once you break down the barrier, they're much more willing and open. And once they see that we're all laughing together and nobody's laughing at anybody, then it totally changes.
Right.
But yeah, for sure, millennials are much more reticent to get up and do things and be involved. But mm-hmm. once they're, mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, Tim, once they're in it, they're totally in it. And that's the thing that is really great to see. And so again, millennials get a bad rap, but they are really interested and they want to do a great job. And they want, it's just that the way they communicate is so different, and their energy style. I mean, we do a whole thing in communication just with the millennials, the way they have the boys where they talk like this. They don't have enough, you know, and it's like, put a little energy behind that because you don't even have enough energy to finish that sentence. What is happening? And that's something that the baby boomers and Gen Xers talk about. It's like, could you please put some energy into your voice? You don't even sound like you're awake. So for instance, we had a situation where a boss would say, every time I call this person at their desk, they sound like they're sleeping at their desk. Yes. And I'll say, were you just sleeping? She was like, no, I'm not sleeping. But it's that, it's
yes,
style.
Yes.
And that drives people nuts. But once they learn about it and they learn that it's okay to be, so it's interesting. A lot of millennials will say, in our generation, it's just not that cool to be enthusiastic about anything be eager about anything.
And it's so funny because I am jacked up all the time, and that's just who I am.
Yes.
So I know a lot of them think I'm kind of nuts. But listen, right. You've been on show 450. Thank you for being a part of Profit Express 450.
Oh my God, it was an amazing experience, Tim. I loved it.
I promised the listeners it'd have to be a moneymaker. It'd have to be worth their while. Otherwise, I wouldn't have you back on. But you know, I put you in the hot seat. You delivered. This was a ton of fun.
It was great, and I hope to talk to you again. It was really, really fun. I enjoyed it, and congratulations on 450. That is a huge number.
Awesome. Tracy Locke, Productively Funny. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tim. Take care.
You got it. And this is the Profit Express. Until next time.